If you look at the last 8 years, there's been five trophies, and the vast majority
of... I'm glad you looked at 8 years anyway, not three.
But don't worry, that's the first part of the question. I'm seeing it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack, and on the way, Emer Considine reacts to her Ireland recall. New English foundations look to bring long overdue stability to the game across the water, and the latest on the French duo accused of rape in Argentina. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish Rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, the English RFU, Premiership Rugby and the Rugby Players Association there have created a new men's professional game partnership. The 8-year partnership aims to stabilise the game in England and create success for its clubs and international teams. Under the new partnership, a new professional rugby board has been established, replacing the existing professional game board. The RFU and the Premiership will have 3 voting members apiece on the new board, with the Players Association having 2. On the club front, there's a commitment to implementing a salary cap formula from the 25-26 season, aligns to key financial metrics, which will include a review of the salary cap credit system. Internationally speaking, there's a move towards something approaching centralisation, with the England head coach able to select up to 25 players into the enhanced England player squad, which will ensure, they say, optimum preparation for key international fixtures, and he'll have the final say on all sports science and medical matters relating to the management of those England players. And the practice of clubs' promotion to the Premiership being nixed over stadium specs will near an end. The new minimum standards criteria will allow a longer period for a promoted club to achieve required ground capacities. Clubs may move from 5,000 to 7,500 and finally to 10,001 at the start of their 4th season in the Premiership at the latest. Former Ireland fullback Conor O'Shea is the Executive Director of Performance Rugby for the RFU, and he's fully behind this new plan.
I really believe that what we've got in the pipeline is a generational English rugby team, and this professional game partnership allows us enough oversight and control and collaboration. It's always about, we want winning clubs, winning England. That's ultimately, we've got the players within England to do that, but setting up a system which focuses on delivering for the players the best possible environment for them to play in, and that's what this is about, both club and country. And that goes, whether that's sharing data systems, athlete management systems, electronic medical records, GPS data, from all that sort of backup data to the individual development plans for the players, oversight and monitoring in a much stronger way, bringing through the young generation of talent we have. So I just look at the age of 17 through to 21, 22, and I marry that group with some of the older heads within the setup that have got the caps behind them, and think in this next cycle what this England team can achieve is pretty special. It's that ability to put around a player an agreed plan. Their load in moving from club environment to country environment. It might sound, if you're in the pub, really outlandishly outrageous that this has never happened before, that we haven't had shared systems between club and country. And it's not the panacea, it's not a silver bullet, but it's a massive step forward to keep getting your best players on the pitch when it counts. And from an international point of view, a smaller group of players who will have real investment in their conditioning, so they are internationally ready, because it's different.
Emer Considine's been drafted into the Ireland rugby squad ahead of next week's one-off test with Australia and the WXV. The Munster back will provide cover for Maeve Dealey, who's struggling with an ankle injury. Considine hasn't played for her country since April of 2022 and only returned to action for Munster last month after 10 months out with an ACL injury. She outlined her recovery on last night's Off the Ball.
I suppose initially, before I had the results of my scan, I remember saying to Lauren Barry, our S&C with Munster last year, that if it's my ACL, I'm retired, because I'd been really lucky with injuries my entire career that I really hadn't had too bad of an injury. And I just thought at this stage of my career, if I have to rehab it, it's just something that I don't think I had the willingness to do. And I remember she saying, look, don't say that yet. We'll see what happens, and don't say that yet. And then I think my mind that changed then once I got the ACL surgery. I suppose you have a target, and as an athlete, you're kind of competitive in everything that you do. So I kind of wanted to be able to straighten my knee after week 1, or walking without a crutch, or Yeah, I suppose with the ACL, there's specific guidelines and targets you have to hit after week one, after week four, after week six. And it was almost like I was trying to beat the recovery process and be better than I should be at that time. And the competitiveness in me probably drove me in those early stages. And even I got my, oh, was it 4 month testing? I can't remember the dates around me testing with the strength tests. And I was way down from where I thought I would be. And then again, I was annoyed at myself that I wasn't like ahead of the curve or ahead above average in that. And I drove on with my strength and with my recovery. And that was probably January time. And I sat down with Dean, my husband, and I said, look, I need to go to the gym 3 times a week in the morning times. I need to be in there for 6 a.m. 3 times a week. This has to happen, and or else I'm not going to get back on pitch. And like, we've obviously a baby at home, so his wake up times are unpredictable, but it just meant that they were just penciled into the schedule. And I used the gym in Limerick in Kilrush called K-Fit, and Kevin Tlew was just amazing for letting me use it and get in there and get my rehab done and offer support along with Lorna and Kieran, my physio at Munster. I saw Kieran every week. And I suppose it was just the competitiveness in me that then when I was getting there and it was going right, it was going in the right direction, I was like, look, I'm actually really close. Like, this is actually something I can get back for. And I put Interpros as my target to get back for, which was leaving me at the 9 month mark, which was quite obviously soon for an ACL return. But I ticked a lot of boxes along the way, and it was kind of, if that goes well, I can get on to the next challenge. And I ticked all those boxes and I was almost there, and I was down to start that Ulster game, and then I tore my hamstring. Week one ruled me out of the Ulster game and ruled me out of the second game completely. So I got back in last weekend against Connacht, and the weekend obviously in the final against Leinster. So like the ups and downs, like I was quite lucky in that I had a lot of like upward trajectory in my recovery and that it went well. And I suppose the only real down was like the starting position against Ulster, because Efer, the fullback, was out with an injury. So I can't say it was plain sailing. It was really challenging.
You can hear that full chat with Eimear Considine by becoming an Off the Ball member now. Finally, Hugo Arrodoux and Oscar Jégu have arrived back in France almost 2 months after their arrest in Argentina on suspicion of rape. They were arrested in Buenos Aires and transferred to Mendoza after a 39-year-old woman accused them of sexual assault and battery in the hours that followed France's first test with Argentina in July. Arrodoux and Jégu deny the allegations, claiming the encounter was consensual. Initially detained in Mendoza, they were allowed to be placed under house arrest at a rented property in the city, but Argentine authorities have now permitted the players to return home while their case remains pending. Arrodoux and Jégu may attend hearings at the Argentine consulate in France, but can be ordered to return to the court in Mendoza. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed. Keep this podcast coming to you free of charge. My name is Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you later in the week. Till then, thanks so much for listening.